Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, I'm back here, and today we're talking about God is love, again, for the sixth week, and we are 6 weeks in, and we have made the sixth verse, so now we have one verse a week pace. So, if we continue that pace, we should be able to finish 1 Corinthians 13 in about seven more weeks. talked the last 6 weeks about God being patient and kind and not envious and not boastful, not proud or rude, self-seeking, nor easily angered or keeping a record of wrongs. And this week we'll talk about how God rejoices in the truth but does not rejoice in evil. I want to talk a little bit about the God is part. As I was preparing for this, I just wanted to look at where it says God is love, and then love is this in 1 Corinthians, so we marry the two up, that God is patient, kind, and today rejoices in the truth. So if we turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. That's 1 John, chapter 4. Okay. Down at verse 7, we're going to read verse 7 through 16. In verse 7, it should say something like this: Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. Even if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. To know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So in this passage, we see that if we love one another, if through this love we're born of God, know God, and those who don't love do not know God. We get our life, in verse 9, we get our life through him. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. In the following verses, in 12 through 16, it talks several times about God abiding in us and we in God. And that happens, when that happens, we have the Spirit. We have to confess Jesus is the Son of God, and the love that we have has to abide in us. So as we go to today, we learn today about 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, where it says that we rejoice God, we should rejoice in the truth and not rejoice in evil, just as God does not rejoice in the truth, or does not rejoice in evil, rejoices with the truth, as love does. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, mindful of your word, and we ask today that your love would abide in us, that we would abide in you and you in us, that we would take these various definitions of love or aspects of love, that we would build them into our lives, that we would abide in you fully. Words that are spoken today, they are your words, not my words. Lord, let the Holy Spirit fill each and every one of us, and let it speak to our hearts. That is your words, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, I tried to greet and talk to each and every one of you today as I came in. as you know, you may have seen, this shirt hides it a little bit, but my shirt is inside out. And the reason for this is this has happened to me before. And so I was looking for some reactions, and it hides it pretty well, so I really didn't get any reaction. But I think some people may have seen it and said, what's going on with him? You know, maybe we don't want to embarrass Bill. Maybe we don't want to say anything. But I was on my way to work one day, and I was in a hurry and threw some stuff in the dryer, put my shirt on over my head, and didn't button it up or anything, just threw it on over my head because I was drying it to make sure it was nice and ready to go. So I get out of the car and realize, oh my gosh, my buttons are pointing in. And it's like, I look around, there's nobody there. So I start walking into the building thinking, okay, this is easy. I'll just go right to the bathroom and I'll pull the Superman and flip it around and no one will be any the wiser. Well, I'm walking fast, but my boss's boss, Tracy, happens to be the quickest woman on high heels. And there was a car coming, and she ran across the street right behind me. So not to be rude, since that's what we've been told not to do, I unlocked the door, opened the door for her, and just like kind of hid behind the door, hoping she didn't notice. Well, this has happened to me before this, but normally, Sue is awake and says, what is wrong with you? And so she would correct me gently, tell me the truth in love, and it would be not a problem. So I figure, oh well, Tracy didn't notice. She's really busy. We both had a meeting to get ready for. And so I went and did the Superman, came out, sat at my computer for 15 minutes and tried to get ready for the meeting. And I was standing in the door waiting for the meeting, in the door of Tracy's office waiting for the meeting, and I was just talking to her a little bit, and she goes, did you have your shirt on backwards today? I'm like, oh, great. I said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And so she said, your secret's safe with me. Well, it's out. Not no more. A second time I did this, I went to Aldi's, and I was on my way. It was the middle of the day, and threw a shirt on. It may have been the same shirt, I don't know. But I'm in the car, and I noticed it this time. I'm like, good, it's winter. Got my coat, put my coat on. Well, the coat I wear for the cold is really hot inside. So in the same scatterbrain way, I'm going around the store, I'm getting hot, I just rip it off, throw it in the cart like I always do, And I get to start getting some strange looks. And I'm going up to the counter to check out. I haven't quite made it there yet. And I'm heading towards the counter, and this guy's looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy? And so at that moment it hits me, it's like, oh, I did it again. So I kind of keep shopping, walk away, keep shopping, and go to do the Superman thing, make sure that line clears out. Fortunately, Aldi's just blows through people. And I was safe again. So I wasn't able to hide my errors again. So today, with some of the truths, the rejoicing in the truth and not rejoicing in evil. Obviously, my missing the mark is my shirt here, right? But you know, I had a bunch of people have different reactions to it. So, you know, obviously Sue cares about me and is willing to say something right away. There may be people who would say to you, they might just point you out and laugh and mock at you or talk behind your back. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the different types of truths. There are good truths. I'm wearing my shirt. I'm wearing it right. There's God's salvation message. There's good words, God's good word, good deeds. God is just. People taking care of people. And then there's bad truths. There's sin in the world. And God is a just God, and that sin deserves punishment. There's bad truths, me walking out of the house without my shirt on properly. Then there's some hard truths. Last night, I dealt with a couple of them. With my friend Dennis passing away, having to concentrate on what I was doing today. I was preparing for this, and I'm texting my brother back and forth, and my brother is just a mess. And how do you relate that God rejoices in the truth, and this truth that Dennis is in this fallen world, and he was lost yesterday? How do you relate to someone, especially someone who is a long-term non-believer, that there is nothing else after this? And in the middle of all that, I'm trying to prepare myself. I get messages from people that are connecting with us that really I probably would have ignored, but they started saying some things that touched me that maybe I should respond to them in the next few minutes, you know, because they had finally reconnected with us that I'd sent out a message to. And in the middle of that, I'm practicing figuring out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to say it, and just try to get down what the message is today in the flow of things and everything. And I go to save everything I had. Was gone at 10:30. So I get into a panic. So there's my difficult truth last night. And so what do? I start over. I start over, but I have everything in my head, and I go through my outline, and I write down my outline, and I had. But you know, so that was just something I had to deal with. But it was many things were coming at me, and it was realized that, you know, the enemy's attacking everybody around us, including the person I was talking to and me last night, and and my brother David. But in the same breath, God was working on David. So why does God rejoice in truth and not in evil? I think the obvious reasons, you know, God is good, truth is good, evil is bad. God does not rejoice in evil, rejoices in the truth. I said yes to Andy. That's the message, and we're done. But, so I do have to say that Andy will be talking about trustworthiness next year, next week, and but there are some relational things that why God rejoices in our truth, rejoices in truth, and truth shines the light on our sin, whether the truth is good or bad. The light shines on that. Truth points to our need for a Savior. Truth tells us about our salvation. God's word is truth, is used for reproof and teaching and correction. Truth frees us from sin. When I was in a better place with this yesterday, early on, trying to get my last things in the middle of the night, I like to sleep on things, or late at night. It got later. But I watched part of the Bernie Madoff special that was on recently with Sue, and I just watched this guy build this huge nest of sin. It was constantly trying to hold that up, and you could just see that the pressure was building on him. It was crazy over time. You almost felt bad for him. I mean, seeing how he was dealing with this, and then of course, but you know that his time is coming, and you know that his day of reckoning. In a way, he was relieved when that all was all done. The weight of carrying the sin was lifted off. God does not rejoice in evil because sin separates us from God and brings death. And not only does it separate us from God, but sin destroys our personal relationships. If a man cheats on his wife and gets away with it many times, never is found out, that relationship is still damaged because he has devalued the wife in the relationship. And sin hardens our heart. If we look at Hebrews 3:12, starting in verse 12, it says, "Take care, brother, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from a living God. Encourage one another day as long as it is still so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So as we go along, sin begins to work on us and takes away our ability to recognize who God is. One of the biggest truths is that Jesus is not the Son of God. If we go back to 1 John 4, In verse 2 it says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world." It also says that whoever, in verse, in chapter 2, I think it says that whoever denies the Son denies the Father. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us that, in 2 Corinthians 14, it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of God, the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. This sin and our death and sin makes us unable to understand the spiritual things of God. Last, if we can go to John 3. We start famously with verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We all know that. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment: the light has come into the world. Men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear his deeds will be exposed. He who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as wrought in God." So there, we see that sin keeps us from believing in the Son of God and keeps us separated from God. And that if you have the Spirit of truth in you, that you are willing to walk in the light and not in the darkness. So for my friend Tracy, my boss, my old boss Tracy, she cared for me. She at least made sure that, you know, I wasn't walking around looking like an idiot. Sue would speak the truth in love to me real quickly. The guy at the counter, he was seeing my sin. Maybe didn't want to embarrass me. Maybe not sure how to approach it. Does he speak the truth? Does he let it go? Does he let me walk away and continue looking the way I was? Then there's people that are just so busy, they don't even see you. They just walk right by you. It may be real obvious that something's wrong with you, and they just keep going. They don't even know that something's going on in your life. And that's I was thinking about this at the time that I got this message from somebody that really felt like they had a need to connect with somebody within the church. And we hope to see this person someday. But if not, we'll continue to minister to them directly. There are those who would be standing in the corner going, "Look at that guy. What's wrong with him?" And so as we think about rejoicing in truth but not rejoicing in evil, we should not look at others' inside out shirts and laugh at them. We should be broken hearted for But really, the person who is caught up in sin. And, you know, I think Jane's message or Jane's request, you know, that's her, what's on her heart now. And she has a desire to let somebody know about Jesus, because we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that he can take away our sins, and we can be with God in heaven for eternity. We know where we want the people we love to be there. So this is the desire that drives the evangelist's heart. And it is hard. When I was first a new Christian, that was my heart immediately. I had no ability to carry it out. And carrying it out in your own strength is impossible. So I think that you have to just pray, and you have to give yourself over to God and let God do his work in you, as well as the person that you need to talk to. But we do see Paul asking for prayer that he may speak boldly as he ought to speak. So I think one of the things that we do with God's truth is we protect the truth. This book is truth. We should really never shy away from it or water it down. We should preach the truth, but we speak it in love. We should never buy into the lies of universalism. It says that if we go to 1 John 2, in verses 21 to 25, First John, not John. He says, I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. It says, who is the liar but the one that denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confessed the Son has the Father also. And let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and the Father. And again, it talks about the abiding in God and God abiding in us. That we do not deny that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son, that we have to have the Son to have the Father. Jesus says of himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. He says to enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way to destruction. For the gate is small, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. There's only one name by which we must be saved, says Peter. One name under heaven. Ultimately, how do we respond to God's truth, and how do we respond to evil? We should avoid evil. But we should also look at each other, and when our brother sins, we should restore them gently. And if they're struggling, we should not seek to destroy them. We should not gossip about them. And there is a time when you have an unrepentant heart that. And Paul talks about what business of mine to judge the world, but before that he's talking about that have nothing to do with a person that continues to practice evil and calls themselves a brother. So there is a time where we do take a step But it's not to destroy the person, it's to restore the person. Paul talked about giving that person over to Satan so that their flesh would be killed, but their soul would be saved, so that the flesh would be taken care of. And then how do we respond in the first place to God's truth? We rejoice to the truth that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We respond and repent from our sin. We ask forgiveness and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe in the Son of God who died sinless as a sinless payment for your sin and rose on the third day so that we may have life in Him. If you haven't done this, and that goes for anybody listening, anybody here, if you haven't done this, now is the day. Now is the time. Jane's heart is right. She needs to get to this person. And we should have a burden to get to these people, that they can understand the truth and that they can rejoice in the joy of salvation, but as well as the joy of restoration and sanctification that we have. And that there is a fruit that comes out of that is love, that we don't destroy each other when we do sin. Because John also says in 1 John that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. So this is how we should respond, that we know that God is love. We know that if we love, God abides in us. We know that the truth should be rejoiced in, but we also know that the evil truths need a Savior and they need a cleansing from sins from our God. And that we should be there for those who need that. Whether it's somebody who's not saved that needs to hear the gospel message, or whether it is someone who is struggling with their sin in their Christian life and doesn't need to be called out, doesn't need to be pointed out that your shirt is on backwards just for the point of embarrassing them or taking it to somebody else and destroying them, but that they would be restored. One more thing, that I could not keep my jacket on. You can't hide this. The light will bring that sin to light. You can't hide that forever. So if there's sin in your life, you need to respond to that personally. You need to repent of your sin. Even if you are a believer, you will be grieving the Holy Spirit, and you will not be living the life abundantly, fully, that God has given us. God is love. His love is in us. So we should rejoice in truth and not in evil. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your truth that guides us to light, your truth that gives us salvation, your truth that forgives us of sin, the love that gives us the Son to come here to give his life up for us as a perfect sacrifice. Lord, and the fruits that come out of that once we give our lives to you, that we as Christians should love above all else the greatest of faith, hope, and love is within us. That we would abide in you and you in us, and that love would shine greatly. That when we see others who are in need of truth, that we would speak it gently and in love, And that you would give us the right words to say, that you would help us to speak boldly as we ought to speak. That we would be the ones who would serve others when they have a need to be restored. Lord, I just ask that you bless those who are here today and those who might hear the message. Lord, I just ask that you move in the hearts of those who are not saved, those who are on our hearts. Each and every one of us knows someone who is not saved. Lord, I just ask that you bring them a little closer today and that you give someone an opportunity, whether it's one of us or someone else, the opportunity to speak the gospel message into their hearts, that there is one way and that you have made the way that to all who believe that they would be saved. Lord, I thank you for this day and thank you for your love and that you are love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.